I speak to you in the name of the living God. Well, Jesus would be the last person you'd put in charge of volunteers in the church. He has no tact whatsoever. Can you imagine it? Jesus stepping up here and say, okay, I need 70 of you. And this is a great chance for you to go into strange and dangerous neighborhoods and invite yourself into people's homes that you do not know. And you will be defenseless like lambs sent into the midst of ravenous wolves. Oh, and by the way, don't take anything with you. No change of clothes, no extra shoes, no cell phone, no iPods or iPhones or none of that stuff. Anything that would at all make you comfortable in what you do. So that's the deal. Now, everybody come up here and sign up. What do you think is going to happen? Everybody's going to come up. Good for you, Bob. Well, maybe that's the problem. We don't do it that way. Conventional wisdom says that we have to sell it to people. We have to make it a little bit easier to swallow. And so we tell people, oh, it's not going to be hard. We have a book that tells you exactly what you need to do. Whether it's cookie bake or Lobster Fest or Mission, whatever. We've got a book, and it's all there. It tells you exactly what you need to do. Anybody can do it, and there'll be lots of people there to help you. And it won't take much time or effort, and everything's going to be set up. All you got to do is show up. We just need you to agree to be in charge. It'll be easy. And the program will be a success. We know this whole passage, this whole way in which Jesus is operating, it goes completely against one of the fundamental values of our culture, and that is self-sufficiency. We are only comfortable if we feel that we can adequately do the job that we've been asked to do, or that we've volunteered to do, or that we've been arm-twisted into doing. But that's the whole point of this story, because Jesus is sending folks to do something, and they are completely, absolutely and totally unprepared to do it. They're not permitted to take anything that will help them along the way. No notebook, no cheat sheet, no order in which to do things. They're just told to go and to be utterly dependent upon the folks that they encounter along the way, knowing that some will respond to them, yes, with hospitality and grace, and others will respond with hostility. You never know. You never know what you're going to get. And that's still true today. So we make plans, and we draw up manuals to guide us along the way so that we will feel self-sufficient. You know, the biggest problem with our plans is that they work. They work. Plans work. You know, almost by definition, a plan is something that we expect to succeed. Well, why would we plan something that's going to fail? And if we don't think it's going to succeed, then we're going to ditch that plan even before we get started. But in order to secure, to make sure that it succeeds, sometimes we custom tailor the goal to meet the plan rather than the other way around. And that's how successes are made. But the problem is, we can sometimes lose sight of the whole reason we're doing the thing to begin with. And being successful begins to matter more than what we're succeeding at. Jesus pretty clearly is not concerned about being successful. I mean, his whole life was anything but successful, at least not in the way that we understand success. What Jesus is most concerned about is ensuring that as many people as possible get to hear the good news. And for Jesus, the good news is that God's kingdom, God's reign here in this place and time is very, very near. That God's kingdom is at hand. That's all Jesus is about. And he says, if things go well and people welcome you and you're having a great time there, then that's what you tell them. The kingdom of God is near. And if it doesn't go well and they reject you and you shake the dust off your feet on the way out of town, don't forget to still tell them the kingdom of God is near. So it's all about that good news. And you never really know who's going to respond and who's not. Who's really open to receiving the gospel and living their lives in it more faithfully and fully as a result of that good news. And you never really know who is desperate to hear it. And so you have to just go out there because you can no longer expect them to come asking you about it. And that perhaps is the biggest challenge that we face as the church today. Jesus' words are very much applicable to the world in which we live. Our whole plan for ministry, I don't mean just Trinity's plan, but the church, for the last long time, 2,000 years, our plan of how to do ministry was pretty much designed, I alluded to this last week, was to welcome people to hear the good news. And so we tell people when we're going to be here, and we open up our doors, and in they flock. And we say, good news! And they go, and they live that good news. And that's been the way it's been in church. That's the way we've been trained. That's how I was trained. You just stand up there and you welcome people, and there they come. And lives get changed right here in the third row, 12th row, not so much in the fifth. But the world's not like that so much anymore. People don't flock to the church asking about the good news. So we have to do things differently. We have to do things differently. The way in which we measure success is not as helpful as it used to be. We used to just say, well, how many people attended worship? You wouldn't check that out today because everybody's on vacation, but on other days, how many people join the church? How many people are baptized? How many people pledge? It's all about the ingathering, the taking in of folks. But for all sorts of reasons, fewer and fewer and fewer people come here on their own. But that doesn't mean they're any less hungry for good news. They may not even know they're hungry for good news because they don't even know what good news is. Or more painfully, perhaps we haven't given them enough reason to think that we have anything worth sharing. In any case, it's time for a change of plans. Now, you might be thinking, I might be thinking, well, that's not what I signed up for. And it's not. The church is a different place than when most of us joined it. The church is a different place than that church to which I was called to ordain ministry. The church is different. And I'm not sure I'm up for whatever it is the church is in want of this day. But the harvest is plentiful, and the laborers are few. And Jesus says, I'm not asking for volunteers. I'm sending you out. And you may feel unprepared. Lord knows I do. But you're not totally unprepared, because you have good news to share, and you know what it is. And you have partners to go with you to help you share it. And that's enough. And that's enough. So go. Just go. You know, we always go within a particular context. What the weather is like, the time of the year, what we feel at the time. Oftentimes, the context of our surrounding culture sets for us the way in which we go. Today, I'm mindful it being the 3rd of July, and we are on the eve of the anniversary of our nation's birth, that's a context in which we go forth. Folks always get nervous, at the same time excited, when we talk about national stuff in church. And somebody's already thinking, church and state, church and state. Do you know, the 4th of July, Independence Day, it's not just a national holiday, it's a major feast day of the church. You can look right there in the prayer book, and it says it's a major feast day of the church. We have a collect for that day, one of those prayers. That's what I said at the beginning of the service. It's not just the nation's day, it's the church's day. And so we can comment on it. What I'm aware of is this year, maybe I'm aware of it more than in other years, that there's a certain national anxiety right now. Is that fair to say? A lot of people are anxious. And it has to do with what happens in our daily life, in our national life. Where it's not the first time that there's been national anxiety, and it certainly won't be the last, but there's some of it there. And a lot of people are talking about it. The violence that we see all too often, a certain uncertainty about where we're going in relationship to where the world is going around us. There's a little anxiety about the upcoming election. Have you noticed that? Just a little? People are scared to death. No matter what side of the aisle, so to speak, that you come from, it's an anxiety-producing time. What I'm reminded of, though, is that it's not the leaders, it's not the elected officials of this nation that make it great and proud. Oh, we've had great leaders. And we've had some real losers over the years. But what makes the nation great and proud is the ideals that live in the hearts of all the people. You know, I think on this Independence Day, or the eve of, we might heed the words of Paul's letter to the Galatians. For it speaks not about others, and that's where our anxiety comes from. It's when we worry about what you're going to do or somebody else is going to do, and it takes all the focus away from what I'm going to do, what we can do. So Paul writes, let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we'll reap at harvest time. Let us not grow weary in doing what is right. Not worrying about whether other people are doing what's right, just ourselves. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all. Let us work for the good of all. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have given us this good land for our heritage. We humbly pray that we may always prove ourselves a people mindful of your favor, and that we are glad to do your will. Bless our land with honorable industry, with sound learning and pure manners. Save us from violence, from discord and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil way. Defend our liberties and fashion into one united people the multitudes brought out of many kindreds and tongues. Endue with the spirit of wisdom those to whom in your name we entrust the authority of government, that there may be justice and peace at home, and that through obedience to your law, we may show forth your praise among the nations of the earth. In the time of prosperity, fill our hearts with thankfulness. And in the day of trouble, suffer not our trust in you to fail. For all this we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.